radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer. This is episode 56, recorded on Friday, December 17th from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we're going to talk about how Democrats are their own worst enemies sometimes. But first, the headlines.
The fact is that everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
Up first in headlines, we have new updates on the January 6th Commission investigation.
So the latest developments, Mark Meadows, White House Chief of Staff, has declined his subpoena and has been referred as a criminal contempt of Congress.
Yep.
But unfortunately for the GOP, he did, before deciding he wasn't going to appear before the committee, release a lot of his documents to the committee, including text messages.
Well, and this is my like favorite part of the whole thing. You would think usually if you're going to try to stonewall something, right, or a stonewall an investigation, you would do it before you give them all the incriminating evidence.
Yeah, it's certainly given that committee a lot of ammunition to move forward. A lot of the thought is that he decided to give all of his documents before he consulted with Donald Trump, who told him not to appear before the committee. And he actually, unlike Steve Bannon, might have a claim to executive privilege since he was the White House Chief of Staff and not just a random citizen, as Steve Bannon was during that time.
And a part of those documents were actually tons and tons of text messages from various people on the House floor in Congress or even Fox News hosts. So I want to start with people on the House floor. And this kind of really shows how terrifying this could have been. According to the text messages sent by a lawmaker on November 4th,
which actually, just breaking news, is thought to be Rick Perry, former governor of Texas and Trump energy secretary. He denies that this is him, but according to multiple sources, it came from his phone number.
Oh, so it's basically him.
Okay. It's Rick Perry.
All right. So apparently from Rick Perry to Mark Meadows, and again, just shows how horrifying this could have been on January 6th. On November 4th, here's an aggressive strategy. Why can't the states of Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and other Republican-controlled states' houses declare this is BS, where conflicts in election not called that night, and just send their own electors to vote and have it go to the SCOTUS?
So basically outlining what Trump tried to do, which was declare that the votes that were cast should not be certified and that each state elect different electors in order to vote for Trump.
That's insane.
It's just overturning democracy. We can't say that enough. Donald Trump and the Republican Party, because again, this is Rick Perry, and this is coming from multiple different places all across the Republican Party, people that are in office, people that are advisors, people that are senior members of the party, all came up with the same strategy of let's just forget about what people voted for and just make Donald Trump the president again. That is literally a coup.
Literally. We have one party in this country that is literally an anti-democracy party.
That did not care about the votes. And again, there's no reason why he's not saying, well, this is what happened. This is on November 4th.
Yes.
He's not saying, well, we have proof that there's this huge fraud and conspiracy. No, just who cares? Let's just have...
Well, just do it anyway.
Because Republicans control the legislatures in these states, let's just have them change the outcome of the election. That is insane.
Right.
These people should all be in jail right now.
Yes. God. And here we are. We're trying to get something on Mark Meadows.
Yeah. Well, we'll hold him in contempt of Congress.
Oh, hooray.
And in December, after the Republicans take back the House, it'll go up for a hearing and they're not going to do anything with it, obviously.
Well, again, it just really goes to show that this entire Stop the Steal movement was completely fabricated. They had
premeditated.
That's what I mean. They had every intention from day freaking one. I mean, Trump even showed it too, right? Like where even before the election, well before the election, he was going to say that this was all rigged and stuff like that too.
Tried it in 2016 too.
Right.
And then he was surprised that he won.
Right. And he still did it anyway, which is even weirder.
Right.
But it's just, it's so insane. And if anyone tells you that Republicans or Democrats are the same, kick them out of your goddamn house or something, or punch them in the face. I don't even know, because
kick them down the stairs.
You can't even argue at this point. We have one who's literally trying to take over the country in the most coup-like fashion possible. We always hear about how the Democrats are trying to take over the country from this whole secret cabal bullshit. And we have the Republicans who are actually doing it.
Out in the open. And we're not doing anything about it.
Because they don't care. The people don't care.
Well, the guy that wore the buffalo horns will get 7 years in prison.
Oh, great. Hooray. But that's not all. According to these texts, several Fox News hosts actually texted Meadows on January 6th to talk about what was happening so that he would stop him.
Stop Donald Trump. To tell Donald Trump to make the crowd disperse, go away. Because they know that Donald Trump was the cause of this.
Yes.
And that only he could stop it, even though they would all later to go on to say that is actually Antifa that was causing this and not actual Trump supporters. This is what they were literally sending to the White House chief of staff
while this was going on
during the insurrection. The first quote we have is from Laura Ingraham, who said, "Mark, the president needs to tell people in the Capitol to go home. This is hurting all of us. He is destroying his legacy."
Now, what do you think hurting all of us means there, Jason?
That it's making all of them, the Fox News and all of the top GOP strategists, which Fox News is just a mouthpiece of the Republican Party, and certainly in this era, the mouthpiece of Donald Trump.
So
that all of the work they put in promoting him, they're not a news station, they're a propaganda station. And they know this. And she knows this. And she's saying, all of the work that I put in carrying Trump's water, and he's making me look like a fool right now by having people literally break into and storm the Capitol to kill lawmakers and make them change their votes. That even that was too far for Fox News, at least for these hosts.
Brian Kilmeade, who hosts Fox or who co-hosts Fox and Friends, said, "Please get him on TV." He said that the riot was destroying everything you have accomplished. Sean Hannity also asked Mark Meadows if he could, or if Trump could make a statement and make people leave the Capitol.
And probably the most ironic, Donald Trump Jr., rather than calling or sending a text. Oh,
this is the
greatest.
This is the best.
To his own father. He had to go through the White House chief of staff.
Now, do you think it was because he already tried to reach out to Trump and he didn't listen to him? Or do you think
I don't think he's got his phone number.
I was just saying, or do you think Don Jr. actually doesn't have his own phone number?
I don't think he can contact him. You notice there's no tweets from Ivanka
nope.
in here, no text messages from Ivanka. She has Donald Trump's phone number, but not Don Jr.
What about Eric? Do you think Eric has his number?
He doesn't have a real phone. They just give him one of those like play school phones. It just says moo every time he pushes the button, and that's it. So the text from Don Jr., he's got to condemn this shit ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough. He has to lead now. It has gone too far and gotten out of hand. From the president's son.
Now, my favorite part about all of this, I'll link it in the show notes, but the Washington Post actually did a great job at also showing what all these Fox News hosts were saying on Fox News while this was going on, where they were blaming Antifa, saying that, well, this is certainly not what Trump and MAGA people do.
Not Trump, not real Trump supporters.
No, literally, and just shows them all throughout in detail and video evidence how they're constantly downplaying this, trying to shift the blame to Democrats, trying to shift the blame to Antifa, to anything else that can get them off their, you know, hot seat. I mean, we already know, I know where I'm preaching to the choir here, but when you have the evidence just staring you right in the face that all of this was just premeditated fabrications, and to see what came out of those, I don't know. I guess it just seems like a real Red Pill moment or something, but it just...
Well, here's the thing. If all of these people were Antifa and none of them were Trump supporters, they're all just agents, provocateurs trying to get this riot started, then why are they also complaining so much about the trial and the committee, why wouldn't they be like, yeah, let's sentence all these Antifa operatives to life in prison? Instead, they push back.
They fight tooth and nail for these.
Because they're literally their friends and family.
Yes. I don't know, man. But what do you do? Again, what does this even do for anyone? We have literal video evidence and documented evidence that they lied about the whole thing.
Nobody seems to care. They just say fake news. If you try to give them any sort of evidence to show that they're wrong, they just don't believe you. These people are also QAnon believers. They don't live in the same reality we do.
Now, I did hear some commentary from Pod Save America where they were talking about the lack of calling this out from Joe Biden, the White House, and just overall Democrats alike. It just doesn't seem like it's making headlines at all. Like, they're just not pushing back on this type of stuff. Do you think that's a good idea, a bad idea? If Joe Biden tries to call this out, is that going to just open up more wounds? I don't know.
No, they should speak out about this. This is the greatest threat to our democracy that's happened since the Civil War. I don't know another time that anyone has attacked the state capitol to try to overthrow the results of a democratic election. And that one party was explicit. Maybe you could say since Watergate and Nixon, but that was certainly a much smaller conspiracy than what's happened here. And that resulted in Nixon resigning before he could be impeached. Republicans refused to even impeach Donald Trump for this, which is absolutely ridiculous. And it should be called out. It should be called out every day. There's still a party in power. For anyone that complains about, oh, our two-party system, it's so rigged, here you go. Here's a chance to get rid of one of the parties that was absolutely complicit in trying to destroy democracy and is still doing it every day. And their leader has not changed. Donald Trump will be running for president
in 2024
as the Republican nominee in 2024. That is insane.
Round two, baby. Here we go. Drink more, my friend. Drink more.
Every day I go to sleep saying today will be the day that I wake up and Donald Trump will be dead. I've been saying it on this podcast. You all know if you're listeners. I've been calling for Donald Trump's heart to give up and let him die for a long time now. And one of these days it's going to happen.
I mean, statistically, yeah, at some
point. So maybe today's the day. Oh. Just going to say I called it.
Okay, sounds good. At some point, Donald Trump will die.
Correct.
All right, fine.
It's the only way I see out of this. I don't know what else it could take.
So let's move from the coup of the Republican Party to the other party that's in power. It's apparently just the same.
The other garbage party.
As the Republican Party. The Democrats, with the year coming to an end and promises are constantly being broken about Build Back Better, Joe Biden Democrats are in constant hot water because, well, you know the story about it now. It's Joe Manchin and constantly whining, complaining, and no one's actually stepping up to do anything.
And Kyrsten Sinema, who just seems to be an obstructionist, doesn't get as many headlines as Manchin because she doesn't talk that much about what she wants, but she is still just as not in favor.
Well, no, not at all. So let's talk about what's going on with Build Back Better.
It is indefinitely shelved right now.
At least for the rest of the year.
Yep. They've decided to not focus on Build Back Better in the Senate and instead work towards voting rights legislation, which I doubt they'll get passed. Because you're going to have to get rid of the filibuster to do that. And again, Joe Manchin has said over and over again, he's not in favor of any changes to the filibuster.
I mean, even when they were talking about, now I'm kind of getting off Build Back Better a bit, but even when they were talking about voting rights legislation, both Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema said, well, I mean, voting rights are important, but like the filibuster is pretty important, man. Like we want that.
And forget our democracy. Again, demonstrated that one of the parties, which is still in control of a lot of state legislatures, including Wisconsin, and determined to pass legislation curbing voting rights and destroying what little democracy we have left at this point.
And we can't do a damn thing.
Nope. No federal protections for voting rights because the filibuster.
Well, and what the heck is going on here?
Which is not even something that is enshrined in the Constitution or the framework of our government. It's something that was added during the Jim Crow era so that racists from the South could protect white supremacy.
Literally.
That is the reason the filibuster exists, but yet it's sacred and must be protected. What?
So now when you have Chuck Schumer, who is probably the main spokesperson for Build Back Better right now, and the whole Joe Joe Manchin debacle, has been promising us Build Back Better for weeks.
Months.
Sure, but I'm talking about weeks after the bipartisan infrastructure deal. And we're getting nothing out of it.
No, and Pramila Jayapal and the Progressive Caucus caved and gave up the leverage they had on the infrastructure bill.
For what?
Because Joe Biden promised they would get the Build Back Better bill.
And look what happened.
Exactly. Stop being chumps. They should not have caved. They should have stood their ground, just like the Republicans always stand their ground, just like Joe Manchin always stood his ground and didn't compromise. And they win every time.
Yep.
I feel like I'm just yelling this whole episode.
That's okay. We had a long week, man.
It's been, I've had a lot of bourbon already this evening. There's going to be a lot of yelling.
That's why it's supposed to be an angry episode.
It is an angry episode. I'm very angry in this episode.
So what do we do now about this? What do we do now that every single time we've been promised Build Back Better, we've gotten nothing? We were promised it for sure by Christmas, and now it's not even going to be done in 2021.
And it's already, Christmas is like the third deadline they've come up with.
Right. So now what? What should Democrats and progressives do now? Because I have no idea. We put all our eggs into Joe Manchin's freaking basket. We trusted Joe Biden to get it done.
Well, that's the thing. And there's apologists out there that'll say, well, you know, what do you expect Joe Biden to do? He's the one who proposed this. It's his plan. You know what? It's not his fault that he's got two senators that aren't willing to get it done. But that's why you run for office. If you're not willing to do whatever it takes to pass your agenda, your vision, if you cannot make people see your side of things, then don't run for president. It's that simple. Get out of the way and let somebody else who can get this stuff done, get it done. That's the whole point of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the unifier. Joe Biden will get stuff done. Joe Biden reaches across the aisle. He's got friends in the Republican Party. How many of his friends in the Republican Party are going to vote for Build Back Better?
None.
None. Oh, good job. I'm glad we elected Joe Biden instead of somebody that can actually accomplish something.
Ugh. And it's because of this that we're getting our asses kicked in the midterms, too.
Forget about the majority that we have right now in the House and the tie in the Senate. That's going to be gone.
Right. It's done.
And it'll be a lame duck presidency for Joe Biden.
Hooray.
And then he'll have a real excuse.
I'll say then he'll have the real unifying experience. Oh, God.
He can't even get a single Republican to vote to raise the debt limit, which Democrats have done for 4 years straight under Trump. And yeah, it might say more about the Republican Party than it does about Joe Biden, but Joe Biden thought he was going to be able to do all this.
Well, he knew that going into this.
He should have.
Well, he also thought the Afghan retreat was going to be a lot smoother than what it was, too. Let's go on to some better news. Oh, wait.
We don't have any good news in this show. You wrote a lot of this outline. You should know.
In our last news story for today, we're going to talk some COVID updates. COVID's getting worse again.
Yeah, things are not looking good as we move into the holiday season. Omicron variant. And yes, it's Omicron once again, not Omicron.
Or Omicron.
Omicron. Omicron. Very simple. Cases are up all across the country, particularly in the Great Lakes states, which we are in one of. Wisconsin numbers have been high for months now. We're pretty much right alongside where we were last year at this time, which is
not good.
Terrible. Our hospitals are filling up. As we've talked about, they've been turning patients away. Things are not getting better. Hopefully, Omicron does not turn out to be as deadly as the other variants because infection rates are skyrocketing. So we don't know that it's not going to be as deadly. We suspect, based on some of the initial findings, as you hear any conservative talk, oh, it's just a common cold. They've moved on from it's the flu to now it's just a common cold. We'll see.
And even worse is that now we're actually finding out evidence that the J&J vaccine is actually not effective nearly at all when it comes to Omicron.
The Johnson & Johnson single shot vaccination.
Well, even now, when medical professionals are still stating today that if you had gotten a J&J vaccine, it's almost like getting a booster by itself for Omicron. It does so little to actually fight against and protect against the Omicron variant that you might as well consider like you're gonna have to start over, which is insane.
That's like the tag. That's the catchphrase of this episode, which is insane.
Then on top of that, if you saw Jen Psaki's moment where she actually butted heads with NPR's Mara Liasson about rapid testing because they wanted to make rapid testing much more accessible for people.
Sending tests to everyone's home.
Well, that's the idea.
That she thought was absolutely ridiculous, but it's not.
No.
We were going to send everyone masks, right? Which was killed early on by Trump and was a really good idea. Everyone in the country could have had like 6 masks provided by the government during the early stages of the virus.
Well, it's just do something. For God's sakes, we elected... Oh my God, apparently this is the we hate Democrats episode.
It kind of is.
We elected you to do something. So do it, for God's sakes.
Joe Biden ran... His major message of his campaign was that he was going to solve COVID. That he wasn't going to be ineffective like Donald Trump. He wasn't going to deny the science like Donald Trump. He wasn't going to work against the CDC and the World Health Organization like Donald Trump. Where is it? I don't see any difference between having Donald Trump in office and having Joe Biden in office as it comes to our coronavirus response. Where is it? Where's the removing patent restrictions on the vaccine? Where is making testing more available? Lines are worse now than they were last year for getting testing. There's nothing. There's no change.
Well, and testing isn't even cheap to buy itself. Yeah, you can try to get it reimbursed through your insurance plan, but that's it. That's still a pain in the butt to do, and they're not even cheap anyway. Come on.
And of course, pretty much like everything else in our healthcare system, the rest of the world has figured out how to do this for free, whereas we're so beholden to the pharmaceutical industry and to corporations that we refuse to do anything in the public interest as a government because it'll interfere with the profits of private corporations, even though they've benefited from government money the entire time because they pay our politicians, which is a theme that we will certainly talk about a little bit later. But yes, I don't see the difference. What's the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden right now as it comes to the coronavirus? One will tell you to get vaccinated and the other will tell you, well, it's your choice. You got to have your choice.
Well, and I'll give again, I'll give it credit where credit's due. At least there's something that's being done because that's still way better than what Trump could be doing.
But it's just lip service. Great. Yes. Is Donald Trump worse? Certainly. That guy was actively going out and infecting people. Typhoid Trump. But Biden's not doing anything really substantial to make a difference here. We're still going to have some of the worst numbers of infections coming up in the next couple months. And how many more people are going to die? Well, we don't know. Hopefully not that many. But if you're older, you're immunocompromised, you're younger, step up to the roulette wheel. You might live. You might not.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? It's hard to get any word in with this clown.
Some of you may know that actually I've been working in politics for several years now, at least in local and state politics, and still am currently outside of this. I'm not going to say what necessarily out of the privacy of whatever org it is, because I don't want to expose the fact that they're associated with a godless heathen and uber progressive.
Joe's an operative for the Republican Party.
I'm trying to be, at least. But while working in Dem politics for a while now, I've seen a couple things that really piss me off, and I just want to talk about those types of things. And this kind of like more of like a confessions of someone who's worked in Dem politics for a little while now. And it's not necessarily the people who are at the top. Like we already talked about the Joe Manchins, the Joe Bidens, the Kyrsten Sinemas, and all those people. I'm talking about your everyday Democrats, your friends, your neighbors, your activists, your hobbyists, protesters, liberals, progressives, moderates, you know, your local elected officials, you name it. These are the people I want to talk about right now. And this actually got started because I was at an event yesterday for a bunch of Democrats in Milwaukee. Seems pretty easy, right, Jason?
Sure. I was not there. Well, so I cannot comment on whether or not you're lying.
Sounds good. And one thing that just blew my mind is how freaking awkward the Democrats actually are as people. I don't know how many times you may have actually talked to Democrats or involved Democrats, but there's a reason why we lose. It's because these are the most awkward I've ever met in my entire life. I've went to completely like random meetups with people that I've never met before. No one knew each other. And I've had great times and have so many less awkward encounters than I had when talking to Democrats that I know. But it doesn't stop there. They don't know how to talk about anything, whether they're your hobbyists, your elected officials, or anyone in between. You may have heard things like how Democrats are always so angry because they're just constantly yelling about whatever issue they care about now.
I don't know what you're talking about. talking about?
We may have just done it for the last half hour. I get it. But Democrats have no freaking idea about how to actually talk to people. So let me ask you this, Jason. How many times have you talked to Republicans, whether they're family, friends, whoever they are, and you may have had actually had a decent conversation with them?
About politics?
Yeah.
Never.
Okay. Okay.
I think a lot of what you're saying about Democrats probably also pertains to Republicans. But no, like, I'm not that much of an outgoing people person. I don't talk to that many people. But have I talked to really anybody on either side that I felt like, oh, this person really has a grasp on what's going on in politics and the issues and gives me a cognizant perspective on where they're coming from and why they hold the views that they have? No, it doesn't really happen. And I'm sure they would say the same thing about me. I don't know. I'm just like the crazy guy that rants and raves about everything and why money isn't real and the debt is nonsense.
Okay, but at the end of the day, if you did talk to people, I'd hope that I actually knew what they were talking about, or you try to be nice to people, you would probably would have said your better conversations were the ones where you actually try to find things in common with that person, which, at least from my experience, the Democrats who don't always constantly have to have someone else to blame other than themselves.
I will say there seems to be a lot more splinter groups within the left of center party, however you want to, Democrats, or there's a lot of differentiation, like as progressives, which we generally label ourselves as, oh, we don't like liberals and liberals don't like progressives and leftists don't like either group. Even in among leftists, there's the tankies. And it's like every way you go along the spectrum on the left, there's a different group.
Sure.
And they don't like the other groups. Whereas on the right, you don't really see. You did years ago, you know, when the Tea Party was a big thing.
Well, when they first started, at least.
Yeah, you'd have the Tea Party Republicans versus the establishment Republicans. Now, I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an insane QAnon believer, and she's embraced by the mainstream Republican Party.
Yeah.
You don't really see that on the other side.
Well, and I think that kind of goes into another point that I had, which was Democrats generally, especially people who are out of politics, do not understand how the parties of our country work, especially the Democratic Party. Because you have to understand that the Democratic Party, unlike the Republican Party, is super diverse for a purpose. The Republican Party is basically made up of a homogenous group of people who all believe and think the exact same thing. The Democrats take everyone else, literally. So when you talk about having all these factions, the Democrats have to actually work with every single one of these people to win every time they're running for office, as opposed to Republicans who can just reach out to their base, fire them up, and then have them turn out.
And the numbers kind of play out with what you're saying. Donald Trump did not get, in when he won against Hillary Clinton, he did not get any more votes than Mitt Romney or John McCain when they lost against Barack Obama.
Right. So when we're talking about how the Democrats are usually ineffective, or you may have heard the phrase, the do-nothing Democrats, or whatever it is, you have to understand that's because Democrats operate under a different system than Republicans do. They have their own challenges that Republicans do not have. And if you don't recognize that, you're going to fall into this false equivalency where you think that Democrats are just as bad as Republicans and that Nancy Pelosi is screwing everything up for everybody because she just doesn't care enough about black people. Now, granted, Nancy Pelosi still sucks. It's not her fault that Joe Manchin's an asshole.
But she should stop going on TV and talking about all the ice cream she has in her $10,000 freezer.
Right, exactly. That was a long time ago. What was that? Like,
it was a deep cut. It was about a year ago.
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
It seems like it's 10 years ago, but...
Man, do you remember like back when like Nancy Pelosi was actually like the horrible bad guy that everyone talked about all the time?
She's still the horrible bad guy that Republicans talk about
all
the time.
Not as much anymore. I mean, I just don't hear it as much. I don't know. Now it's always about anything woke and anything that like they can blame AOC for nowadays.
The whole woke thing. Talk to Ron DeSantis.
Well, and let's talk about that too. I am about as progressive as they come. Same with you, Jason. I've seen people in Democratic circles who take wokeism to the real extremes. I mean, yes, the vast majority of what like Republicans call wokeism in general is just absolutely made up nonsense because
it's mostly just trying to teach children that slavery existed.
Oh, right.
They consider that to be, oh, you're destroying the fabric of American society by teaching people that America was a terrible country. America is a terrible country. terrible country for a lot of people, and that's important to teach everyone that, so that we actually can understand each other.
But in particular, especially with progressives and uber liberals, is they will focus so much on the smallest freaking minute details that they'll let anything pass them by because they're worried about these little small molehills.
You're saying the people that are extremists, that yes, it does happen in every movement where people will go to a length that is not that important, and they talk about what purity tests all the time,
right,
where the smallest, slightest infraction against what they consider to be their worldview means that's a person that they can't support at all, even though they might agree on 99.9% of things. But you said the wrong word one time, and that is a cancelable,
I've got a great example for you, a local example for you. So this is actually not secret, and I'm more than willing to openly call their asses out on this too, so I have no problem with this.
Spilling the tea.
So I'm technically a part of the Wisconsin Progressive Caucus within the Democratic Party here. I don't really do anything with it. That's fine. But I'm also a part of it, so I get all the updates and whatnot. I see their Facebook posts and cool. They posted about their meeting, and they sent out an email about their October monthly meeting. Sounds great. Well, it turns out they actually scheduled it on Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. People let them know, and they sent out another email saying, yikes, we accidentally scheduled our meeting on Yom Kippur. We're terribly sorry. We did not mean to offend any of our Jewish brothers and sisters who are celebrating that day. We will reschedule that day, and we'll let you know when that day is.
One of the holiest days.
Yes. What are your thoughts about that so far?
People make mistakes. If you're not Jewish, you might not have an awareness. We don't, as a society, we fetishize Christian holidays, and our Christian holidays are institutionalized into American society, so the people that are like, oh, the war on Christmas, they're attacking Christianity, is absolutely garbage. The fact that we didn't know when Yom Kippur was, we had to look it up so that you could have the details of your story correct, show that America really doesn't pay attention. If you're not Jewish, you have no idea when these holidays are, because it's not a part of our culture. Our culture is Christian. That's it. So it happens that you might make that mistake because we're just really not culturally aware of these Jewish, even though it's one of the more important Jewish high holy days. So I could totally see that happening. And the fact that they acknowledge that they made that mistake and then changed it so that it wouldn't inconvenience people, all good.
Okay, cool. Well, it's going to get a lot worse. So here we go. So they also post that image of their email on Facebook. Gets bombarded with, I kid you not, nearly, I think, 100 some comments about how horrible it was that the Progressive Caucus was so insensitive to the Jewish community that the entire board should resign. How dare they do this and just be so insensitive to what's going on in the world outside of their own privilege. Tons. I'm kidding. Over probably 100 comments of this. Okay. Then I also saw people say the thing, okay, fine. I get that was a mistake. You're fine. You probably shouldn't have started your email off with the word yikes, because it made it sound like, well, yikes, it's Yom Kippur. It sounds a little like odd, but otherwise you're fine.
I was saying yikes is like some kind of Yiddish slur.
I don't know. Whatever. Then the Progressive Caucus argues with those people publicly about what the definition of yikes is.
According to Webster's Dictionary.
I that is literally what they did. I kid you not. I was losing my mind, man. And all I wanted to do was say, y'all are a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
This is why we suck, and this is why we lose everything.
Yeah, just infighting, just to infight.
Literally.
To show that they're the ones that are more progressive because they have solidarity with the Jewish people, and they're going to hold the caucus to account for their transgression.
Well, exactly. And it happens with all of these types of cultural issues.
Meanwhile, Jewish people probably don't care that...
Right.
They're like, oh, thanks for at least realizing it and accommodating us. We appreciate it. No, how dare you do this?
So, and that's the problem too, is where wokeism is not a big issue. You know, I would consider myself woke if that's what you want to call me.
I would say that we're two of the more progressive people you're ever going to encounter. We're not, again, nobody is perfect when it comes to these things. There's certain things that we're blind to culturally, just the way we grew up. I don't understand understand 100% what it's like to be someone I'm not. And I 100% will admit to that. And you make mistakes at times. I'm older, but I try my best to not make anyone feel marginalized or like they're not as much of a person as I am. And that's all, to me, that's all you can do. And that's all that should be really asked. And in the situation, the example that you gave, that's what happened. Like, oh, well, sorry, we're not Jewish. We didn't realize this holiday. You understand why. It's pretty easy to figure out that, you know, you don't get off of work on Yom Kippur. It's not a federal holiday. That's the reason why. Otherwise, I wouldn't probably know when Easter was, honestly, as an atheist. It's not anything I go out of my way to celebrate.
Well, exactly.
But culturally, it's a thing. You know, advertisements in paper. Everybody talks about it. You see it all over the place. That's why you know. So, yeah, when you get those holidays that aren't, I don't know exactly when Hanukkah begins and ends every year. Sorry, that doesn't make me insensitive. It doesn't mean I deny the Holocaust. I just don't. It's not something that I celebrate. I'm not really that aware of it. We're not that aware of it as a culture. So,
yeah. But I think that also points to the fact of, you know, you talked about purity tests, right?
Yeah, that's 100% what it is. It's just a way so that they can try to make themselves superior to somebody else. And to
literally, that's what it is. It's elitism. Mm-hmm. And Democrats are always called out about this, but I want to let you know, there is a real elitism when it comes to the Democratic Party. I've noticed as well. Democrats always want to out-elite people. Now, this is coming from someone who also has a lot of elitist type of behavior. I'm going to grad school right now. Or I have a family member who's also working in academia. I get it, right? It's the elitist mindset. I try to be educated as much as I can. I try to, I don't know, go out to nice restaurants every once in a while. Not as much anymore because you know why. Fine.
You have a nice, thick, full head of hair.
You got a nice, thick, full head of hair.
So do I, ladies.
Yes, you do. You're also married. Stop it.
There's and no she, ladies other than your
listens,
mom.
And she listens to this show. We get all the ladies on this show here.
All two of them. What's up, Melanie?
What's up, Mom? But no, it's seriously, like, you need to understand that with these types of purity tests, you have to realize that with all these types of factions, we have to work with them. And it pisses me off that Joe Manchin is not someone I would, you know, ever want to vote for. But guess what? Him versus a Republican, I'd vote for him 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, I would so much rather do that. And what happens is every election, especially now, we just saw in Virginia where the Democrats got comfortable and they didn't show up and they lost.
Well, it happened. You want an example of it is the 2016 presidential election. Everyone was like, well, Hillary, she doesn't excite me. She's kind of, I don't really like her that much. So I'm not going to vote, or I'll vote third party to show my displeasure with her as a candidate. Great. Then we had 4 years of orange and stupid.
Well, exactly. And then that kind of brings me back to my last point I'm going to really hit progressives home about. But y'all don't know how politics works, man. When it comes to anything like politics, we talked about this, I think, in a previous episode, maybe a couple of months ago, about how politics is about organizing and generating power for over a sustained period of time. Republicans do this really freaking well. We don't. Because all we do is we show up on election day, we vote, and we never see anything with politics ever again other than what we see on Facebook, Twitter, or whatever news site you want to watch, like whether it's MSNBC or CNN or wherever garbage you want to see. Democrats don't get involved ever. They don't volunteer. They don't give money. And when people do actually try to get money for people, they're called big money hacks and sellouts when they actually don't know how campaigns work. I've worked on campaigns. They're expensive as shit. So you need lots of money to do that. So this whole idea, sure, we don't need to be holding to corporate PACs who try to donate millions and millions of dollars to make sure that they have control over the candidates. I understand that. But if you don't want that, that means you have to pony up. And the fact that you don't pony up means Republicans will have way more money than you will. There's a reason why the Republican Party is known as the rich people's party. They give money to each other all the time. And for some reason, Democrats won't even give $5 to someone who's trying to run for mayor in their own city. Get involved, and you have to actually give money to these people. Otherwise, nothing's going to ever happen, ever. Not just your presidents, not just your congresspeople, but everyone, your local candidates, your mayors, your county supervisors, your alder people. They all need tons of money, and they have no idea how to raise it. Trust me, I've worked with them. They have no idea how to raise money, so they're going to need your help as much as possible. But since we don't do that, we lose.
I feel attacked right now, Joe.
This is the bitch about Democrats hour.
I guess. I must fall under that category. Yes, but I do not. This is my donation to the world right now. The sweet sound of my voice complaining about Democrats. Politics.
But so I don't get railed for only talking about how crappy progressives are. This is a progressive podcast, so let's talk about the moderates too. At least, especially in Wisconsin, our moderates are definitely older, white, have no idea what the issues are at all, and they constantly get in the way. Basically, everyone's little Joe Manchins. I'm sure everyone has an uncle or an aunt who is still at least a Democrat, but they don't do anything for us like a Democrat should. They refuse to take on issues that progressives care about because it's not already mainstream in the party. If it's already mainstream and Joe Biden talks about it or whoever they care about and it's on MSNBC and they talk about it, then maybe they will. But until then, they don't give a rat's ass about it. And even along those lines, they'll act like complete conservatives when it suits their interests. When it comes to guns, abortion, gay rights sometimes, marijuana legalization, it doesn't matter as long as they're not affected by these issues. And progressives have to constantly pull them along while they're kicking and screaming to do anything. We just talked about that later today where we elected Joe Biden because he was a unifier and he was going to win. That was his whole message of 2020. I am going to win and I'm going to unite people.
And get stuff done. And guess that's what I've done over my 90 years in politics.
And guess what happened?
Wah, 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 wah.
Moderates, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not because this is a progressive podcast. I'm sure most moderates don't listen to podcasts at all. Hashtag come at us. Get your shit together. Start listening to your millennial cousin who is listening to Slayer and whatever.
Slayer.
I don't know. I was trying to think of something that liberals listen to.
It's not Slayer, I'll tell you that.
What's a band
listen to? Like Dave Matthews Band. I think that's what liberals listen
to. No, they don't.
Oh, totally.
No, they don't.
It's mainstream. It's gross. It's totally liberal.
Well, whatever. Talk to your millennial, zennial, Gen Z or whatever and while they're watching TikTok and on Instagram all day long.
Well, those, the younger, see, millennials, they're like in their 30s now. But like the younger kids, I don't know, they're listening to stuff on like the TikTok and the SoundCloud and whatnot.
Jesus Christ.
The webs. They're all about the webs.
Listen to what they care about. Listen to their ideas. Because I will say, also from working in politics, some of my most inspirational moments was listening to young people. Do they have the best ideas? Hell no. Do they need guidance? Hell yes. Do they have the right ideas of where they want this country to go? You bet your ass they do. They care about climate science and technology and the future of equal rights, and not even just like I want rights for all people. It's actually in detail where I have a cousin who's gay and I want to make sure that they can adopt somebody. So I want you to really look inwards as a Democrat, as a voter, and understand that Democrats are actually probably their own worst enemy. Democrats don't get involved. They don't vote when they're supposed to. They don't give money when they're supposed to. And all the time they're infighting all day long, tearing each other apart so that Republicans can easily just take over and gain all the power for us. Progressives constantly spend all day long thinking about some of the stupidest issues possible. And granted, as a progressive, I'm fully aware of this. While moderates are constantly telling progressives to go screw themselves while doing absolutely nothing to move this country forward.
And just upholding the status quo, just like Republicans.
We can talk about Joe Biden, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, Hillary Clinton,
Bernie Sanders,
Nancy Pelosi all day long and complain about how they're not perfect for us. Look lower. Look at your friends, your families, your local elected officials, and see how much they actually suck. And then you'll realize why we lose all day long. And this
look
is coming
at your family members. Talk about how much they're terrible.
All day, man. All day.
That's your...
Have a happy freaking holiday.
That's your homework for Christmas. Tell your family how terrible they are. But no, that's a big thing, too, and that's a big difference between the GOP and the Democratic Party. The GOP mobilizes their base. How many local county boards, city boards, school boards are they running for right now with their anti-CRT message versus what are Democrats doing? What are they pushing? I guarantee you, I live in Waukesha County, very Republican area. If I were to go look at my local race that are coming up next year for a county board and school boards, it's dominated by crazy QAnon Republicans that are pushing, you know, oh, we got to end CRT in the classrooms. And I'm not going to see that same unified message from if there are any Democratic candidates. So it's 100% accurate. The Democrats are not as good about mobilizing that base and having a unified message and getting everyone on board, even if it's a lie. lie, like CRT is. 100% a fabricated lie by Christopher Rufo and right-wing conservative think tanks. But it resonates, and they get everyone on board from the national level. You're seeing it with Ron DeSantis. He's going to be running for president. He just announced his Stop Woke campaign in Florida, and you see it all the way down to the local level, and they have the same exact message.
Yep, and Republicans are going to continue to outraise us, out-organize us, and just straight up beat us in the elections in the upcoming years, unless we do something now. So, message to Democrats, get your shit together.
And give us money.
Like, specifically, like, us too.
Yeah, like, us. Like, yeah. Me. Yeah. You see me, give me money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. Just give us money. All the money. Nothing but the money.
Money, money,
and Best
money,
Buy
money.
Gift cards.
I don't want Best Buy gift cards. Give me a Visa gift card. Just give me cash.
Strictly in...
Give me Bitcoin.
Oh, God.
Whatever you want.
Give me your best NFT.
Give me the Bored Apes. Is it Bored Apes?
What's Bored Apes?
The NFT thing.
Well, is that like, is that an NFT?
It's an NFT, like the line. I think it's Bored Apes.
I don't know. I don't follow NFTs, man.
Sleepy Simians.
Don't invest in NFTs. Don't invest in crypto. Well, don't do any of that.
If you're not a drug lord trying to like launder your money,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't invest in NFTs because that's what it's for.
Literally, don't do that. It's a bad time.
Unless you're a drug lord trying to launder your money, because then that's what it's there for.
Sure, okay.
I've got way too much material for the outtakes at
this point. So, like, if you're a drug dealer who's listening to this show, welcome.
Give us money.
Give us money.
And drugs. I don't know, whatever you got.
I mean, he needs something to take while he's drinking.
Just give me drugs.
It's basically money. Like Wisconsin Narcos up in here. It'd be great.
I would prefer money.
Okay.
If we could choose. I'm stopping this now because we're going not anywhere.
Okay, Boomer. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively.
I oiled you up, you bastard. High on those.
I know, right? Fumes. We're even now medical professionals. Oh my God, come on, man.
I'm the one who's been drinking heavily.
We're even now medical professionals are currently saying.
Just do that again. Okay. You did it when I was. Yeah.
Oh, I said it right. Well, even now medical professionals are already saying. Oh my God.
Now I'm mad at Joe.
God,
everybody's angry at everybody this episode. I need to not drink so much before. I am apparently angry drunk when I'm in front of a microphone.
I like drunk Jason. This is fun. I'm enjoying this. Listen
and they
to
like
them.
Vaping, and I was going to go somewhere.
Yeah, where are you going with this, man?
Kind of completely just after one example. I swear I had more in my head ready to go. And I was going to be like, and they like this, and they like that. And it was all going to be funny, newer stuff.
You screwed it all up, man.
And it broke it. Never mind. I don't know. I'm taking this all out. None of this is making it in. If you're hearing this, it's definitely in the outtakes. It's not in the regular episode. I know that. I don't know. I don't know. Today.
I'm going to finish this off.
Yeah. You go right ahead. I derailed the shit out of this.
I think I'm already like out of ideas too.